Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, hello, everyone. This is Andrea with the Profitable Practice Podcast, and I have a few exciting announcements that I want to make before we jump into my interview with Igor again. So, number one is, as I mentioned in the previous podcast, which if you haven't checked it out yet, you can go to maximizebusiness.ca/42. It is episode 42, where I discuss how the Maximize Your Clinic course is going to be reopening its doors in February. So that is coming up very, very soon. And if you'd like to take advantage of joining that, just let me know. There is actually on my website, maximizebusiness.ca, a tab where you can be on the waiting list. And that is very, very exciting. So this time around, we're adding in a lot more community, a lot better support. We're keeping the videos, but more bonuses that you can get. So I know that would probably excite some of you that are listening. The other thing is that I am launching my 5-day lead magnet challenge very shortly. So if you go to Facebook and search 5-day lead magnet challenge, it's all one word, you should be able to find it. Alternatively, you can search me. I do have a lead magnet, like a landing page for it. And I will also be posting that in the show notes. It's maximizebusiness.ca/5-day lead magnet challenge. But there's dashes between every single one of those words, not underscores, dashes. And you can join that way. And it is going to be an amazing event. 5 days where I promise to help you create a lead magnet from start to scratch. From start to finish. And I promise that you can get at least one new patient booked in because of that lead magnet. So I'm going to show you everything, not only how to create it, how to promote it, all of that. And I do a live Facebook call with you every single day just to help hammer in a lot of those steps. So that is something that you definitely want to join. And this is kind of all coming part and parcel with why I wanted Igor to come back onto the show today. And that was to talk about tracking. So when we're doing our social media events, when we're creating lead magnets, when we are doing like our events, when we're doing seminars in front of people, we need to start tracking exactly, are those efforts working? So that's a big part of what we talk about today. And to help you with that, I've actually created a very simple Excel spreadsheet tracker for you that you can find on maximizebusiness.ca/tracker. And you can download that anytime you would like. And that will just give you a quick starting off point on how you can start tracking your leads and are they actually converting to patients. So without further ado, let's start chatting with Igor. Hi, Igor. Welcome back to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Thank you so much for being a repeat customer on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me, Andrea. I'm looking forward to this.
Now, the biggest reason why I wanted to have you back on is you are always posting the seminars that you're going to be speaking with, who you're speaking with. Like even with the naturopathic college, you've done that. What did I read? This is your 7th time going back to the college and speaking to the students about exercise and fitness?
That's exactly it. 7th time.
And it's so amazing to watch you continuously do this and put that out there. Like if you weren't posting it on social media, I would have no idea. But the other post that really caught my eye that I think you posted mid-December of last year was how important it was to track your numbers. And I think that is something I am very bad at, despite us talking about it before on the previous show. So I thought, let's just get down to brass tacks and let's talk about why it's so important to track your numbers and know your numbers, and that way you can start allocating your energy and resources towards the things that are really working out well versus the things that aren't, and how much that's transformed your business.
Oh, absolutely. So we are all practitioners here, whether we are a naturopathic doctors, we're chiropractors, we're nutritionists. In my case, I run a personal training company, and all of us track something with our clients or patients. We track blood pressure, we track their weight, we track blood sugar, we track BIA, body fat, etc. And I assume we do it on a regular basis. We look at blood chemistry, we look at things like that. It's a scientific approach. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep.
So why don't we track the same things in marketing, right? It should also be a scientific approach. Marketing isn't just about throwing a bunch of stuff against the wall and see if it sticks. We need to have a very targeted approach. For example, if we didn't measure, if a patient comes to us for help with improving their blood pressure, wouldn't we measure their blood pressure? Well, sure. Wouldn't we measure a few other things? Maybe kidney function, maybe a couple other things, HDL cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, a couple of, and sodium, potassium, all these things. Absolutely. This tells us with the treatment, which approach should we take? Is there kidneys that are malfunctioning? Is it a magnesium deficiency? Is it something else? These are all things that help us target our treatment approach. Look at it the same way in marketing. If you're not tracking your numbers, if you don't know which metrics to track, you don't know where to put in your efforts. Now, unlike a Nike and Adidas and Microsoft and McDonald's, etc., we don't have a virtually unlimited marketing budget. We have to use very good judgment in order to identify where does it make the most sense to spend our money, time, effort, and energy. So that's the reason for the importance of tracking.
And that's such a valid point because I personally don't have that kind of a budget, and I think I make a lot of assumptions as to what's working well and what isn't. And so let me ask you this, did you start your business wanting to track the numbers right away, or is that something that you found you had to start doing out of necessity and that really made kind of that pivotal turn for how your business is run now?
Yeah, good question. When I was just starting my business, I was basically fresh out of school with a background in kinesiology. Absolutely no background in sales or marketing. So I had no clue what I was doing from a marketing perspective. So I just, I was doing things that just throw things up against the wall and seeing what sticks. I literally tried 47 or 49 different marketing tactics, but they weren't really strategic. I wasn't really tracking my numbers. They didn't know when something was working, I didn't know why it was working. And when something wasn't working, I didn't know why it was not working. So it's a very, very frustrating and time-consuming and energy-draining process. Eventually, I became more and more and more scientific with my approach to marketing, and now I view marketing through the model of a funnel. I believe marketing is essentially a funnel. You start with suspects, which narrows down to prospects, which narrows down to leads, which narrows down to actual sales, which narrows down to repeat sales and referrals. And so that kind of model applies to a lot of different things, public speaking, websites, and so on and so on. So yeah, it's not something that I started with, but it's something that I felt I needed to do out of necessity. And nowadays, my business is growing faster than it used to for the simple reason that I know precisely where to target my energy, my money, my time.
And so when you're starting to track, because the idea of tracking everything, number one, from where I'm sitting, is I'm like, oh my God, I have missed out on so much data that how do I
Yeah.
proceed from this point? So let's just start from that transition. There's a lot of people that are listening that are probably in the same position as me, and they're like, well, crap, like what do I focus on? How do I know what to start tracking and where to go now? So what would you say to those people?
Yeah, so the most important metrics we track are leads, leads and sales. Basically, where are your leads coming from? That's a very important thing to know. Are they coming from word of mouth? Are they coming through your website? Are they coming through Facebook ads? Are they coming through Google ads? Are they coming through public speaking? Where are your leads coming from? And just as importantly, you need to track sales. Now, I'll give you an example. Just because you know where your leads are coming from doesn't necessarily mean you know where your sales are coming from, because different channels, let's call them, have different conversion rates. For instance, in my case, in 2016, so just last year, I got 31 leads as a result of my newsletter. out of the 31, 26 became clients. Okay, so very high conversion rates. Whereas from public speaking, I don't remember the exact number, but it's something like 52% conversions. Although I got more leads out of public speaking, I got more sales out of my newsletter. I
Right.
also got more sales out of referrals. So you have to track leads and sales. Okay, you also have to track conversion rates. Where are conversions the best? From which channels? So, for example, if I see that I'm getting very good conversions from referrals, then I'm going to channel my energy towards referrals. And that's exactly why I'm speaking at the Naturopathic College. In 2015, I did an analysis of my marketing metrics and where are my clients, my sales, not my leads, but my sales, where are they coming from? And I noticed that one naturopathic doctor, and you know him, sent me 13 of his patients. Of the 13, 12 actually bought personal training.
I
So
see.
that's close to 100% conversions. Now, if I hadn't tracked that, I wouldn't have known. I would have just kept doing what I'm doing. But now that I see that, the next thought that came to mind is, well, how do I multiply this naturopathic doctor? And the obvious answer became A, reach out to other NDs, but B, start speaking in the naturopathic college at CCNM. And hence, that's why I started giving my talks there in hopes that once the students graduate and become practicing NDs, they will start referring, and then I'll have basically an autopilot business. So that's more of a long-term strategy. But hence the reason for tracking the numbers and tracking conversions. So channels, which channels are your leads coming from? Who are your leads in terms of demographics as well as psychographics? What kind of stuff do they read? What shows do they watch? Et cetera, et cetera. So these are the few important metrics to track.
Now I'm going to take a step back to what you just said. So tracking numbers, like just, I had 15 from this talk and 5 came from the talk and became new patients is one thing. But you highlighted something very, very smart, and that's the sociographics, the demographics, the psychographics. Let's discuss now how you're starting to track that and how that's implemented then the way you're continuing to market your business.
Great question. So whenever I track where are my sales coming from, so I'm looking at A, size of sale, and B, repeat sales, and C, referrals. So I'm looking at basically who are my most profitable customers or clients. And that allows me to track things even further. So then, do I notice patterns? If somebody buys my biggest package, 50 sessions, is there a certain pattern about that person? Is it a male or a female? What age? Married or divorced or widowed or never married? Kids or no kids? Level of education, profession, all these kinds of things help me to make my marketing more and more and more precise until I have more of my ideal clients. So that's the importance of tracking and figuring out where are my psychographics. So, like an example, in my case, my best clients tend to be females between age 50 and 55, who are either single, never married, divorced, or widowed. And either have grown-up kids who are not financially dependent on them or no kids. And they are working in professions that allow them to make over $80,000 per year. So that's a very precise and clear picture of who my target market is. Now I can use that target profile. I can look for public speaking engagements that help me target those kinds of customers. I can look for potential referral partners who target the same demographic, whether it's a chiropractor, a naturopathic doctor, or even a financial advisor. Who tailors their practice to these kinds of people. Now, if I hadn't tracked my numbers, I wouldn't have known who my most profitable clients are, and I would have just gone after everybody. But I know that this is my market, and that's what I should go after.
So we probably all have this data because we get all of our new patients to fill out an intake form. Are your intake forms then done online so you can compile all this data very quickly? Or how are you collecting this extra information that you're getting from every client so that you can start to compile it in a very easy to manipulate and analyze way?
I'm actually very old school. I use plain old pencil and paper to gather the data, and then I input that data into an Excel document. So nothing really high tech about it.
How much time does that take for you to do per person?
Let's say I get 200 leads across a year. So all it takes is just to input the person's data into an Excel document after each one between 30 and 60 seconds. Multiply that by 200, and that's how much time I spend on that in a year. So it's not a lot.
And putting that extra minute of time into organizing your information has impacted your business in how, like, in what percentage? How much does that
Oh,
really,
tremendously.
yeah.
My first year versus now, which is 6 years later, revenue has grown 7 times. Not 7%, 7 times, which is 600%. That's how much it's grown.
Amazing. And that's why I kind of wanted to reemphasize that point is, it seems overwhelming, and I'm sitting here being like, oh my goodness, I have, 500 files of data that I've not used to my advantage. And had I put that minute of time into every single patient, how much better would I be at targeting and marketing and building those networks?
Oh yeah, 500 points of data is a very rich resource. If you input that in, even if it takes you 5, 6 hours or even an entire week, it'll be worthwhile down the line.
So now we're kind of getting ready to start tracking. And what is kind of the base? So you put everything into Excel, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And I know that, as I mentioned at the beginning, in the intro, that we do have a tracker for everybody to download. So something for you to get
Yep.
started. But if somebody wants to just wing it on their own, how do you set up the template so that you can compile and look at all the data appropriately?
So it's very, very simple. So again, look at marketing as a funnel. You ever heard the saying, a chain is as strong as its weakest link?
Yes.
So you have to identify what's the weak link in your funnel. And I'll give you an example from my own business. When I just started growing my business, I started public speaking. But my first 40 talks yielded absolutely no results whatsoever. Zero clients as a result of all those speaking engagements. So I'm thinking, well, I need a new method of lead generation. Then I spoke to a marketing consultant. He tells me, your problem isn't lead generation. Your problem is lead conversion, which to me was a real eye-opener because at that time I was ready to dump public speaking for another lead generation method. Then I realized, no, public speaking is working. I am getting leads. I'm just not converting them. So then my tactics have to be aimed at, well, what do I do in public speaking engagements to get greater conversion? So that's what I started to focus on. And nowadays, between 35 and 45% of an audience will take me up on my initial offer. So the funnel is this. At the widest part is the number of people in my speaking engagements. To get narrower, the next step in the funnel is how many people convert from a speaking engagement to a low cost initial assessment. And then the next step in the funnel is, well, what are my conversions from an initial assessment to a full out sale? And then the last step is, what are my conversions from a sale to renewal, well, renewals, basically in personal training, we call it renewals. After you've done your package, you buy another one. And so it tells you, where are you stuck? In other words, if my conversions from face-to-face meetings to full-out sales are pretty good, but my conversions from public speaking to face-to-face meetings are not good, that allows me to use specific tactics, to test different tactics, to figure out, well, how can I improve those conversions? So I've tested a number of different tactics, and now I'm at the point where, like I said, 35 to 45% of an audience will convert to a low-cost initial assessment.
And for those people that haven't listened to the original podcast, which I strongly encourage everybody to go back to, remind everyone what it is that you do at your seminars that initiates that initial conversion, because it's really cool.
So usually what I used to do is I started to just speak about physiology and weight loss and all this kind of stuff that's interesting to my audience, and I wasn't getting conversions, even though at the end of the talk, people would approach me saying, that was a great talk, this was great information, etc. I'm like, well, great. Where are the Visa cards? Where are the MasterCards? Where are the checks? I don't need your compliments, I need your money. There's a difference between being good at speaking for the sake of speaking and being good for speaking for the sake of feeding your business, speaking for sales. So what I started doing initially, I started testing giving out a gift certificate that for initial assessment that has a 2 week expire from the day of the talk. Conversion improved slightly, maybe about 2 to 5% were now buying personal training, which is a heck of a lot better than 0%. But I still wasn't satisfied with 2 to 5%. So then I started testing something else. Just make up an offer that's good right then and there. As soon as they walk out of the building, the offer is gone off the table. And so that's what I started doing. And conversions went up to, like I said, 35 to 45%. As simple as that. Sometimes it's just one tiny little change that makes a world of difference. And you don't know what the change is unless it's this tiny little thing. It's like, for example, if your computer is broken and you're not a computer person, well, it's going to take you hours, days, lots of time to figure out how to fix it. But if you go to a computer specialist, they might just push a button. They just know which button to push,
Right.
and it takes them 2 minutes. It's the same thing here. Like, once you know what's not working, well, just make a slight tweak, and it starts working with through the eyes of a trained professional.
So your and again, for everybody who doesn't know what your lead capture is, remind them what it is that you changed your just booking in with you to what is now your it goes away when I leave this room.
Sure. In personal training, the way it works is most personal trainers will offer a free either fitness assessment or a full session. I offer a fitness assessment, except I don't call it that. I call it a dream body map session. One of the
Yes.
reasons I call it that is because an assessment is something every personal trainer does. A dream body map session is something that only I do. So you need to
Right.
create your own terminology. And to be fair, that is a unique assessment. It's not just how many push-ups and sit-ups can you do and what's your body fat. There is more to it than that. It's something that is valuable to your target market. So what does my assessment consist of? It consists of a discussion of their goals, injuries, medications, medical conditions, anything that can get in the way of them reaching their goals, which typically are more energy and weight loss. So that's part one of the assessment of the Dream Body Now session. And part two is we actually do a body composition assessment using the biosignature protocol, which if anybody's familiar with Charles Poliquin, that's his protocol that I use. And lastly, I use a nutritional assessment questionnaire, which is from a naturopathic doctor named Dicken Weatherby, who's a fairly big name in the functional medicine world. And that looks at different systems of the body. So your immune system, your gastrointestinal system, cardiovascular, et cetera. And based on all that, I put together an action plan of what a person needs to do to get from where they are to where they want to be, whether it's 30 pounds lighter, having more energy, having less lower back pain, et cetera. So that's what's valuable to my target market. And again, keep in mind who my target market is. If I had a different target market, I'd offer a different assessment.
And that assessment that you're doing is 100% free, is it not, when they come into your office?
No, it's a $20 assessment. The
Okay.
reason it's a $20 assessment and not absolutely free is because we don't want tire kickers. We want somebody
Right.
who has, they already came for free to the seminar. Usually. So I don't want them to have something else for free. If they're willing to invest $20, there's a much higher probability of them willing to invest my full price, $1,500 to $3,500. But if they're not willing to invest $20, then they're much less likely to buy the full package.
And there's absolutely no reason why anybody who's listening to this podcast literally could not do this in the next 10 minutes. Start offering these low barrier offers when they're doing seminars or when you're doing a lead capture of some sort. Because you could absolutely implement this online too, because we can use now technology that allows for offers to be set on a timer. And when the timer goes up, then the offer is taken off the table. And everything that you're providing these people is nothing that's outside of the scope of naturopathic medicine either. And it's just the way you're packaging it again. So you're just changing the terminology. You're making it sound so much more elaborate and exciting than perhaps what it is that you're delivering. But because you're putting it together in such a beautiful, well-made package, and you are asking them to put a little bit of skin in the game, I mean, it's a really, really brilliant stepping stone to get people from the public into your office, because getting them into your office, I would say, is probably the hardest step of converting any lead, and then you get to continue to build that trust once you've gotten them to make the trip out to see you in your own space. Would you agree?
100%. Most business owners will tell you, once I have a person in front of me, I can make the sale. But how do I get people in front of me? Lead
Yes.
generation is harder than face-to-face sales for most people, most business owners. And so, yeah, lead generation would be the top priority.
And then another thing I wanted to touch on with you is how to know what tweaks to make. And we could definitely, as you said, go to an expert and go and start working with a business coach or someone who knows what button to push. But for those people that aren't necessarily ready to make that step and they're thinking, okay, you know what? I am one of those people where I'm spending a lot of time making a seminar. I think the seminar is good. I'm going out to the public and nobody is coming into my office afterwards. What are some of the things that you looked at that you said, you know what, this would probably be a good tweak here or a good tweak there? What's a good place for people to start?
Good question. So usually I'll think of a number of different tactics. So there's strategy and then there's tactics. Strategy is an overall arching idea. So for example, an example of strategy might be I want better conversions for my public speaking engagements. The tactics would be exactly what you say during your engagement to get those conversions. So you test, you come up with a few different ideas and you test all those ideas until one of them hits. So for example, my first idea again was to give away gift certificates for a low priced assessment. Well, that worked, but not that well. So I kept testing. So I just, instead of having a 2 week deadline, I gave them a right there, right then only deadline. That works a lot better. And if something is as simple as that, that gets the conversions way up. This is a very condensed version of this. I gave a much more extensive hour and a half talk about how to use public speaking to double your business, and I do consult with wellness practitioners on that. So the short version is you need a good introduction. You start with an introduction of yourself. Why are you doing what you're doing? What separates you from other practitioners? And what is it, why is it that you're passionate about what you're doing? So not just about naturopathic medicine, that's too broad, for example. Why is it you're passionate about, let's say, if you're, why is it you're passionate about pediatrics? Or if you're working with diabetics, why is it you're passionate about diabetics, et cetera? So you have to make it very specific. Otherwise, you're just giving an ad to every person in your profession. So nothing differentiates you. So you have to give something that differentiates you from any other person in your profession. So an intro is absolutely critical. The second part is you have to display your knowledge. One of the biggest mistakes I see wellness practitioners making in terms of public speaking is they give a lot of statistics about epidemiology. In other words, diabetes rates in North America are this percent, obesity rates are this percent. Epidemiology is nice and it highlights stuff to other professionals, but again, we're not gearing our seminars towards educating the public. Our seminars are first and foremost used to get us new clients. Now, yes, we need to educate the public in order to get sales, but it can't be the same kind level of education that you would use to somebody who's directly paying for the seminar or that you would use with other professionals if you're speaking to other professionals. So you have to test different tactics to figure out what's working. So that's part two. So you have to display your knowledge of your field. And that's, you know, although it's the least important part of the presentation, it is the most time-consuming part of the presentation. Throughout the presentation, you also need to be seeding. What does seeding mean? Seeding means you plant gentle, not pushy seeds of what your services are. So a great way to do this is case studies. And I know naturopathic doctors are not allowed to use actual patient names. You can use pseudonyms. You can use hypothetical examples, for example, for instance. So then you have to seed it with case studies. So here's, for example, our client, Mary. Mary came in, she was 50 pounds overweight, had thyroid problems, had adrenal fatigue. And here are the things we did with her in terms of exercise, nutrition, supplementation, that nowadays she's 50 pounds or lighter. Her blood pressure is 110 over 70. Her blood sugar, her A1C is now 5.2, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to show before, after, and not just the numbers, but more importantly, how was her life affected? So you might say, now that their blood sugar is normal, she doesn't have sugar cravings anymore. She doesn't have to go to urinate so frequently. She doesn't have to wake up 2 hours after falling asleep and has a hard time getting back to sleep. So you have to make it into real life, not just very clinical, because to a clinician, it will mean something. But our audiences are not clinicians for the most part. They're general public. So that's how you see it. And then at the end, you need a very strong call to action. And that call to action needs to have scarcity. It needs to have value to your target market. In other words, if I was to use my current call to action with a group of athletes, it wouldn't hit, it wouldn't hook, it wouldn't convert. If I was speaking to a group of athletes, I'd use a different call to action, something that's valuable to them. The call to action I use right now is valuable to my target market, which again is females, single, 50 to 55, with either no children or grown-up children. So those are the three keys. So good intro, seeding throughout the presentation, and strong offer at the end.
Very important. And for me, I do seminars, but I tend to like to do a lot more stuff online, like using my computer and using technology. You may or may not be doing this as much, but are you applying the exact same tactics, as best you can to any lead magnets that you're offering online or through your newsletters
Yes,
or things like that?
absolutely. Now, I don't do webinars just because I'm a technophobe. If I was doing it online, I'd be doing the exact same thing. But when I do my marketing through my newsletters, through my blog, et cetera, absolutely, I target my lead generation efforts towards what's interesting to my audience. with every single article I write, most people comment to me that it's so conversational and easy to understand. Well, there's a reason that it's conversational and easy to understand, because usually the way I get my ideas of what to write about is a person actually asking me a question, a real life person, whether it's a client, an audience member, somebody on Facebook asked me a question, and I thought that's a great question that I can really elaborate on. I can't really give up with cancer. So that's when I write my newsletters. And so when I'm writing it, I'm typing it out as if I was actually speaking to the person who asked me that question. So I actually have a specific person in mind. And it's a different person for every newsletter. And then I make an offer that I think would be valuable to the type of person who's reading that newsletter. Because I have about 26 or 2,700 people on my list. You figure that if one person is interested in a certain topic, there's probably a few dozen, maybe a few hundred people who are interested in the exact same question. So I make an inference into who, what kind of person, demographics and psychographics, would be interested in what I'm writing about, and make an offer that's commensurate with that.
Awesome. Anything else that you find that's really important for people when it comes to tracking leads should keep in mind? Or again, if you're starting from scratch as of this call, where, like, what do we really need to start looking at, and how do we start to build on that data?
Yeah. So look at what your what successful naturopathic doctors or nutritionists or chiropractors are doing. The easiest way to do this is to Google the term, for example, naturopathic doctor, and then a name of a city that you're not in. So if I'm in Toronto, I wouldn't Google personal trainer in Toronto. I'd Google personal trainer San Francisco, personal trainer New York, personal trainer Chicago, personal trainer Berlin. And then I would see who's coming up at the top of Google and email the top 10 people in a bunch of different cities and ask them, what are you doing for marketing? I am also a personal trainer. I'm not competitive to you. I'm in a very different city than you. And I'm just getting started. I want to see what you're doing. So that's the easiest way to get started. It's a nice little shortcut. Don't expect 100% responses. You might get 10 or 15% responses, but even that in and of itself is valuable. So that's how you get started. And then take their advice very seriously and run with it. See if what works for them also works for you. That's how we get started on it.
That's so smart. And the biggest part of that is take action. Like, do what they're doing. And that's really how I've modeled my business is if somebody else is doing it and they're successful, there's no reason why I can't mimic that and put my own spin on it. So that's a perfect place to start. And then, of course, don't forget to download the template that we have on the website as well.
Exactly. One thing I want to add is that you do want to replicate what somebody who's successful is doing, but the question is, how do you know if they're successful, right? Just because they're visible doesn't mean they're necessarily successful in terms of profit or revenue, okay? A lot of people who are very visible don't make as much money as somebody who's not that visible, who's doing more work behind the scenes. I'll give you an example. If all you were to do, in my case, is follow me on social media, you'd think that all of my revenue comes from public speaking. And although a good chunk of it comes from public speaking, my newsletters are doing a lot of work behind the scenes, and referrals are doing a lot of work behind the scenes. In fact, more than 50% is coming from the stuff that you don't see on social media. So yeah, you have to know who's successful. But the most obvious way is to identify that is to approach somebody who's related but not competitive to you.
All right, Igor, anything else? Or do you feel like that's a good place for us to leave off for this call? And I'm sure we'll have you back on again.
One other thing I want to add is, as one of my favorite business slash marketing authors, Dan Kennedy, always says, the most dangerous number in business is one. So it's good to have more than one method of lead generation. If all you rely on is Facebook ads, then it might work for a while, but what if Facebook changes in its algorithm or its pricing structure, et cetera, your business goes down the drain. On the other hand, if you have more than one leg on which your business stands on, then take away one leg and it's not that disastrous. No, it's not pleasant, but it's not a complete failure, not a complete disaster. So it's important to have more than one method of lead generation.
So smart. I actually encourage three, at least three.
Yes, exactly, three or more.
Thank you again so much, Igor. And if people want to get in contact with you personally, or because this is your target referral source potentially, if they want to start
Yes.
referring their patients, what is a great way to contact you?
The best way to contact me is by email, which is Igor, Igor, at torontofitnessonline.com. Igor at torontofitnessonline.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much again for coming on, and I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So as I promised, if you want to get that sort of starter tracker template, please go to maximizebusiness.ca/tracker to get that now. Don't forget to join the 5-day lead magnet challenge. Again, you can find it on Facebook if you just type in or search 5-day lead magnet challenge and or go to my website. You should see it there or maximizebusiness.ca/5-day lead magnet challenge. That is the number 5 and dashes between all of those words. But that is going to be a phenomenal 5-day event. And then don't forget the Maximize Your Clinic course is opening its doors later on in February. You don't want to miss that if that is something you would like to join. Everybody did so well that went through it last year. So I can only imagine what this year is going to be like. The best part about it is you only have to sign up once and then you continue to be grandfathered in. So every time we reopen the doors, you get to be part of the calls again. You get to be part of the community again. You get to help, you know, the newbies forward their business the way you have. So it's going to be a really fabulous thing. And I'm going to keep kind of opening and closing the doors 1 to 2 times a year. Other than that, guys, go to the website. Hit me up, ask me questions, give me topics. I love hearing from you. And remember, this podcast is all about you and getting you what you need to in order to grow and maximize your practice. I'm Andrea Maxim, and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.